Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thank you. I have a word. Whilst I was in worship, God just really sort of got my attention, distracted me so much so that I couldn't actually enter into worship. Today we were talking about the goodness of God, show me your face, sitting at his feet. And I've got names as well, John, Tyrell, Joseph, Janice. You will maybe sit in here. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I really believe that this word is for you, but specifically for everybody. There's people sitting here in this place, and maybe it's one of those, maybe it's all of you, that you have found it difficult to throw up your hands. I throw up my hands. You found it difficult to seek his face. Because of life circumstances, you found it difficult to even leave your room at times, your house. But I really feel and believe that today, God wants you to know that the season of holding back has passed. Feel good on that one. The season of holding back has passed. He's driven you into the corner, the enemy. The enemy's driven you into the corner to silence you. But the time has come to get the lips moving and the tongue going. You've been hiding. It's time to come out. It's time to take your rightful place. The time is now. This is the season. I want all heads bowed. And if that word permeates with you this morning, doesn't matter if your name is John, Tyrell, Joseph, or Janice, could be anybody in this room, I want you to stand because I want to release you for this year. Just stand to your feet there where you are. Don't hold back. There's more. Please don't look around. This is between the people and God. The rest of you can start praying. There's more. Thank you. Thank you. I really sense Holy Spirit saying there's one more. Thank you. Those of you that are standing, the rest of you, your eyes are shut, you're praying in your heavenly language. Those of you who are standing, I would like you to open your hands in front of you as you're about to give what has been going on in your life to God. The season of breakthrough is here. The season of coming out of your closet is here. The season of hiding has passed. The season of being shut mouth has passed. So Father, right now I come and I break the shackles that have been holding these people back in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you have called them and destined them for greatness. And right now I open the windows of heaven and I release the greatness, Father God. I open their minds right now that they will think as you think, Lord God. I pray, Father God, even right now that you will remove the small-mindedness, Father God, that you will release the creativity of heaven upon them. I thank you for blueprint downloads. I thank you, Father God, that they will even have dreams in the middle of the night. Lord God, that they will wake up and go, oh my gosh, can I do this? I want to tell you, God says you can do it. I thank you, Father God, that all shame is broken off in the name of Jesus. I break off shame. I break off the spirit of fear. I break off the spirit of anxiety. I break off the spirit of depression where you have been not even wanting to walk outside. I declare that there is a boldness upon you from this moment forward. a boldness to step out and to take hold of what God has given you. I declare over each one of you that 2025 is the year of abundance, but it is also the year where you will come out and where people will be astounded at the giftings, at the words that come out of your mouth. You will speak life and things will change. You will shift atmospheres. I thank you, Lord, right now that their words have power. And Father God, that as they speak, there will be a release. Lord God, a release of your power, a release of your healing power. I thank you for this now in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody agrees, said amen and amen. Can we give God praise? Can we give God praise? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, guys. Thanks, team. It was wow today. It was amazing. I'm excited. Who's excited about 2025? Three of you, five of you, six of you. Ruth is very excited. That's good. Anybody else excited at the top there? Yeah, I see a couple of hands. That's good. You should be excited. You should be excited. Do you know that, Happy New Year, by the way. Blessed New Year to you all. I said it to some of you, but did you know that we're already halfway through January? Did you realize that there's only 341 days to Christmas? Joel is like, bring it on, Christmas. 341 days to Christmas is scary. January is the 19th of January. It's time doesn't wait. But are you ready to embrace 2025? Are you ready to embrace what God has? And when I say you should be excited about it, I actually mean it. You should be excited. You should be eager about 2025 for two reasons. The first reason is because God, the God that we serve, is a good father. The God that we serve has got good plans for you. The God that we serve is a loving God. He's a faithful God. He's an ever-present God, and he's an all-knowing God. What am I saying? I'm saying that in 2025, you need to enter knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's already there waiting for you and I to join him and walk the journey with him. We got through the past 2 years knowing, having an aha moment, having a revelation moment that he's already there. You know that meeting you're going to have tomorrow? He's already in that meeting. You know that discussion you're going to have? He's already in that discussion. You know that decision that you have to make? He's already there waiting for you to make that decision with him. He's all-knowing and he's everywhere. I love it. The second thing is that you and I, by nature, are a people of promise. Say to your neighbor, you're a people of promise. You're a people of promise and inheritance. Why do I say that? Because in Galatians 3:29, it says, if you belong to Christ, anybody here that belongs to Christ? Yes, the majority of us. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. As a believer, you and I are spiritual descendants of Abraham. And the phrase heirs according to the promise means that anyone who belongs to Christ, anyone who believes and follows him, has the right to receive all the blessings and promises of God made to Abraham, which makes you and I a people of promise. We spoke about this last year. 7,482 promises that are there for you and I to access and to steward. 7,482. Well, I've been pondering on that. When I process, I garden. I did a lot of processing in 2 weeks of being away. I have an immaculate garden. Immaculate. I'm very proud of my garden. But I did a lot of processing. I did a lot of talking to God. And as I was chatting, I really felt that we need to prepare ourselves to walk in God's faithfulness this year. And this morning, we're going to look at a number of scriptures and unpack them so that we can get an understanding that we are called to walk in his faithfulness. Remember last year when I finished up, we spoke about crossing over from 2024 into 2025, but leaving everything of 2024 in 2024 and not taking it with us. Well, I believe that you've left it there. If you haven't, go back into 2024 and leave it there and then come and join us again here in 2025. Why am I saying this? It's because we need to be prepared for what God is about to do. I said this to the team this morning, and I want to say to you, you just got to put on the news, and you just got to realize the coming of Jesus is closer than last year. There's fires ravaging, wiping out California, Los Angeles. Who would have thought? There's landslides happening, wiping out buildings. South Africa has had the most rain that they've had in decades. There's rivers that have been dry for decades that are flowing, that are flooded at this point in time. We have a rocket going up to space that has just exploded. There's a lot of stuff happening in this world. Take note. And if you have nothing to do this year, go to the book of Revelation, some light reading, and read it. And you will see that what he is talking about there is actually happening in our time. My question is, are you preparing yourself to walk in God's faithfulness in 2025? So the first scripture that I want us to look at this morning, grab your Bibles and let's turn to Matthew 25. And I want to encourage us this year in 2025, that New Mid East family, that we will be students of the word. Yes, students of the word. What am I saying? This is a nice way of me saying, get yourself a physical Bible and a notepad and bring them to church. Let's get a little bit old school here. Yeah. So because when we have a physical Bible, we can scratch around in the Bible and you will understand. I'm busy spoiling you by putting scriptures at the back, but I think we're going to take those scriptures away so that you can have your own Bible. All right, moving on. Context of Matthew 25 is a man goes on a journey and entrusts his wealth to three servants. The one with five talents, he gives five talents to one, he gives two talents to another, and one talent to the last one. And in verse 15, it says, each according to their ability. Now, I want us to stop there first and say, you know what? God does not give us anything that is beyond our ability. That's a word for somebody. I can't handle this. Yes, you can. If you've got God on your side, you can handle this. Because each one of those people were given according to their ability. This is important. Nothing beyond what they could personally handle. Nothing unreasonable was given to them. So the servants with the five and the two talents invested and they doubled their master's money. The servant with the one talent takes it and he hides it in the ground. And when the master returns, he rebukes the lazy servant for his lack of effort and casts him out. And then he rewards the faithful servant for their diligence. Let's pick up on verse 21, Matthew 25, 21. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. This, of course, is he's speaking to the one with the five talents and the two talents. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The key here is you've been faithful with a few things. You've been faithful with what has been put in your hands. The result is I will put you in charge of many things. Because you are faithful with what's in your hand, God wants to put more. He will charge you with many. And the overall invitation is come and share your master's happiness. This picture right here that we see this morning is a picture of the Father's heart. We all believe that he's a good father, But he comes and he entrusts us with his wealth, so to speak. He entrusts us with his kingdom. He entrusts us with 7,482 promises, inviting us to be good stewards and bring his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. The result is, as we faithfully steward and faithfully obey in faith, he actually gives us more to faithfully steward. Why? Because he is a generous God. The overall invitation from the good father is this, that his sons and daughters will be sharing in the abundance of his kingdom. And this is where that scripture is, come and share your master's happiness. What have you and I received? We have received a book this thick, which has got 7,482 promises. And as a people of promise, your faithfulness will be measured in what you've done with promise. Are you getting this? You're going very quiet. Your faithfulness, when you one day stand in front of Father to hear, well done, you good and faithful servant, that word faithfulness will be measured by how you have dealt with promise. Yeah, wow. That should be the response. We have a massive responsibility. You see, the faithfulness of a believer is demonstrated. The faithfulness of a believer is validated and exemplified and reflected by how we steward and act upon God's promises. So let me ask the question again. As you cross over into 2025, how are you preparing yourself to walk in God's faithfulness of promises? How are you preparing yourself? Ask yourself this question. Until now, what have I done with God's promises and God's calling and God's talents and God's gift? Until now. Don't be hard too harsh on yourself, because there is hope. It's 2025. So ask yourself now in 2025, what are you planning to do with his promises? What are you planning to do with his calling and his gift and his talents as you cross over into this new season of great expectation? You see, because when we look at life and we get to a new year, we always have New Year's resolution. I'm going to get fit and I plan on getting fit. I'm going to buy a house and I plan on how I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to buy a new car in 2025 and I plan on how I'm going to buy a new car. I'm going to go on a cruise and I plan on how I'm going to save to go on the cruise. I'm going to find a new school, or I'm going to make new friends, or I'm going to lose the weight I found over the Christmas period. And we plan. I'm busy planning. Watch this space. Not now, down the track. How we plan, but we plan. But here's the question, something that is even more important than the natural and the physical is, how are you preparing yourself and planning to walk in God's faithfulness in 2025? How are we planning to see his goodness manifest in my life, in my marriage, in my kids, in my family, in my finances, in my relationship, in my community, in my church family, in Victoria, in Australia, in the world? How am I planning to see, to physically see and to experience and encounter the fruit of his goodness in my world? How many of us at the end of 2025, in 11 and a half months, want to encounter the Lord Almighty say, well done, my good and faithful child. You have been faithful with these few things this year. I will put you in charge of many things in 2026. Come and share your father's happiness. You see, we normally use this word, well done, good and faithful service, when there's a coffin in front of us and we are talking about the person in the coffin. But God doesn't want to wait until you're in the coffin to experience this. He wants you to experience this now. He wants to get to the end of 2025 and say, well done, my good and faithful child. You have been such a good child with what I've entrusted you. Here's more. That's how we advance his kingdom. Come on, church. It's time. You see, there's this common misconception that I constantly hear amongst believers, and I heard it a lot last year, that I want to propose robs us of seeing God's abundance manifest. And this misconception is, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. Is that totally true? When something doesn't work out according to how I thought it should, then I say, oh, that is the sovereignty of God, or that's the sovereign will of God. Is it? Really? If that is the case, then why pray? If that is the case, why even bother coming to church? If that is the case, and my prayers don't count, why bother to lay hands on the sick then? You see, because the Bible clearly says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but yet people are still perishing. Is that the sovereignty of God? Well, not according to the will. Is he a liar? Is he maybe a hypocrite, or is he a cruel father that's punishing us? Another scripture, Mark 11:24 says, I tell you, you can pray for anything. The word is anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. How come then that doesn't happen? These are all questions that we have, correct? Or is it just me? Anybody up there? Yeah, I'm seeing a couple of hands. I pray and I don't see breakthrough and, oh, that's the will of God. No. You see, I want to propose today that there are two aspects to the will of God. The first aspect is that scripture makes clear that some things that God wants to happen will happen without your obedience, without you agreeing or not agreeing. Your thoughts don't really matter. And those kind of things are, Jesus is coming back. He couldn't care what you think. He couldn't care if you want to agree or don't agree. He couldn't care about that. Jesus has come back. That's a fact. Another thing is that in Acts 17:31 is that there will be, God has an appointed day when he will judge the world in righteousness through Jesus Christ. That's going to happen. That is going to go read Revelation. Yeah, that's your reading. You see, the event is not dependent on a human belief or approval or cooperation. That's the first aspect of God's will. The second aspect, and this is the aspect that I want us to really grasp today and understand, is that there are other parts of God's will that hinge entirely on the believer's cooperation. Oh, good word. Good preaching, JJ. Thanks, mate. 2025, I'm telling you. There are other parts of God's will that fringe entirely, not a little bit, entirely on the believer's cooperation. Now, before we unpack this, let me just state that not understanding this and even ignoring this, putting our heads in the sand like an ostrich, leads to a watered-down life of faith. It actually robs us, you and I, as believers, of God's blessings and abundance. And what happens is we often use God's sovereignty as an excuse, blaming him when things don't go the way that we hoped. In reality, are you ready for this? Comes with a lot of love, but much of the blame lies with the apathetic, lukewarm, unbelieving Christians who either don't know about their God-given responsibility or fail to step into it. Now, that's not you. I know you all do it. Those are the other people that I'm talking about. But are you getting this? Are you getting this? This is really important. God's sovereignty, his control over everything, is not an excuse for you and I to sit back and do nothing. It's an invitation to get to know him and work with him so that we can see his supernatural power manifested here in our lives and in our circumstances. Take a screenshot of that. Stick that on your wall. Because you know why? He wants to see heaven invade earth. He wants to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And the only people that can make that happen is you and I. Are we okay? Why am I convinced about this? Why am I so passionate about this? Because Pneuma East, because church family, it is time that we step into the faithfulness of God and we start seeing it manifested over and over and over and over again. The testimonies of Jesus should be in our inboxes. We should have queues of people wanting to come and share the testimonies of his goodness and breakthrough and healing on a weekly basis. It should be the norm of our lives. Why? Because he's a good father. He's a good father. I am convinced. Now, I know you've got your Bibles open. Good on you. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 2. Verses 18 to 20. This is why I'm convinced. This is why I am so convinced. This is a scripture that I've been sitting on. At one stage, I did not understand it, but I do believe I have revelation knowledge as I've pondered on it. This is why you need to have a Bible, a physical Bible. On the phone, it's good, but here, at least you can go back and forth. You can make notes. You can scratch in it. All right. You ready? Context. This text is part of a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a group of Christians in a city called Corinth. We pick up at verse 20, where Paul transitions to emphasize the unwavering faithfulness of God's promise in Christ. All right, verse 18. Let's go 18 first. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Whoa, come on. Do you get that? For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Let's break it down. What's the point? The point is, number one, Paul starts by saying that God is completely trustworthy, as surely as God is faithful. He is completely trustworthy. Somebody needs to hear that. He is completely trustworthy. If you take nothing else and you only take that, that is good. He is completely trustworthy. He's not bipolar. He doesn't change his mind. He's the God, the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is God. Verse 19, when Paul and his companions, Silas and Timothy, shared their message about Jesus, they didn't give mixed signals saying yes or no at the same time. Instead, their message was clear and consistent. Okay, verse 20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. 7,487, they are yes in Christ. Paul is saying that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the ultimate yes to all of God's promises. To all, Jesus is the yes to all of God's promises. Every promise God has made to bless, every promise God has made to restore, to save, to guide, to provide for his people is fulfilled through Jesus. Not going to be fulfilled, it is already fulfilled through Jesus. How many promises? 7,487. So we need to understand 7,487 promises have already got God's yes. And 7,487 promises are already fulfilled by Jesus. Wait, JJ. This doesn't make sense. So the question, JJ, is why am I still in the circumstance? Why have I not got my breakthrough? Why are my prayers not answered? Anybody been praying, wondering about those? Only me? a couple of you. Thanks for being honest. I like interaction if you haven't noticed, yeah? Anybody who has been praying those prayers, a couple more, that's good. No, the other people, it looks like everybody's doing fine. It's only me, Paulina, you and I. Why am I still in lack? Why is my body not healed? Why? Well, here's your answer in verse 20b. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us. Hello. The amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Oh, the amen is spoken by us. Revelation. It's spoken by us. Our role, the importance of our role in the scripture highlights how we need to actively participate in God's promises and in his plans to see them fulfilled. We cannot sit on the couch and wait for things to happen. I'll speak to the side. We cannot sit on the couch and wait for things to happen. We have to be actively involved. Actively involved. And through him, that's Jesus, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Paul explains when people believe in Jesus, they respond with their amen to God's promises. And this is their way of agreeing and accepting what God has promised. All right, so I have a question. So the opposite of that is then also true. Let me just spell that out. This is what the opposite could look like. If we don't respond with our amen, are we then not agreeing with and accepting what God has promised? It can also then be asked, do we really truly believe that Jesus came to fulfill God's promises? Do we then truly believe that God is a good God and that he wants us to live an abundant life? May I also then make you aware of the possibility that if a believer, not one who doesn't know Jesus yet, if a believer does not respond with their amen to God's promises, that the fulfillment of those promises in their lives remain unrealized and dormant. Are you getting any answers to your questions of why? I did. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. This was my revelation. My gosh. I had an aha moment. I ask you the question, has God's promises ever changed? You're not confident. Has God's promises ever changed? No. Will God ever change? No. His promises remain the same. They've already been answered by Christ. He's already been the yes. Folks, are you hearing what I'm saying? Without our agreement, without our amen and trust, we cannot, unfortunately, fully experience or walk in the blessings and transformation of God's promises, or the promises, the transformation that his promises bring. Your amen, my amen is your act of faith that is needed to activate the promise of God, to release the promise of God for your life. And through that, when that is released, God is glorified. I want to glorify you. Are you releasing his promises? Are you giving your amen? Because it is through our amen that he is glorified. It's time. It's time for the church to start glorifying God through their amens. It's time for Numa East family, the believers of Numa East. Look, I love the church. But this is my responsibility. This is our responsibility. This is what's been entrusted into our hands. I say yes. I had to say yes and amen to come and fulfill this role. And I'm calling each one of us higher this morning. I'm calling you higher. I'm saying, come on, church. It's time. It's time. You know why? Because I want to see the manifestation of His promises in your life, in your marriage, in your finances, in your children, in your health. I want to see the manifestation. And you know what? I cannot give the amen on your behalf. I wish I could, but I can't. I wish I could. Remember last year we spoke about the keys of the kingdom. Remember we did a whole series on the kingdom. Anybody remember that? Were you all listening? Oh, yes. I get some hands at the back. Great. I'm not looking down the front. I'm looking at the back. I'm going to put brighter lights there at the back, in the back row there, that I can at least see your eyes. This is another one of those kingdom keys that are handed to you. He is such a good God. I'm going to wrap up. And as I wrap up, I want to wrap up with this. I want to look at the significance of your amen. I don't only just want you to get a realization that you this is what I have to do. I want you to see the significance of your amen. Firstly, your amen affirms God's promises. It affirms. The word amen means so be it, or it means I agree. By saying amen, we declare our faith and trust that everything God has promised is true and fulfilled in Jesus. Hear me. It's not a passive response. It's an active expression of belief. Secondly, your amen points to God's glory. This means that our agreement with His promise shows the world His faithfulness, His power, and His goodness. You know that you have, not for yourself, you have for others. Our lives become testimonies. As we give our amen, our lives become testimonies of His promise coming to life. And this glorifies God. And as it comes alive, so what happens? Others see. And they are drawn to the kingdom. Kath shared this morning out of Revelation, the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus. That testimony comes from your amen. The third, your amen is not just spoken, it's lived. So we can't just go around and go, yeah, amen, 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 amen. I wish it was that easy. It's not that easy. Our amen is not just spoken, it's lived. When we trust God's promises, we act in faith. When we trust God's promises, we live with hope. When we trust God's promises, we share His goodness with others. In other words, if we believe in God's promises of peace, we choose to live without fear. Come on. Your amen is not just spoken. It's lived. It's a lifestyle, people. It's a lifestyle, church. It's a lifestyle, young people. It's a lifestyle. The fourth, your amen acknowledges that Jesus has made all things possible. The verse says, so through Him, that's through Jesus, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. What did I say earlier? I said basically that the amen, God's yes is Jesus. Jesus has fulfilled. He is the yes. So it is through Him, it acknowledges that through Jesus, through Christ, all things are possible. And it's only through Jesus. Hear what I'm saying. It's only through Jesus that we have access to these promises. Through Him. only through Jesus. Those are the four things. Your amen, affirms God's promises. Your amen points to God's glory. Your amen is not just spoken, it's lived. And your amen acknowledges that Jesus has made all things possible. Church family, we are not passive recipients of God's promises. We are active participants who affirm them, who live them, and glorify God in the process. Let me say that again. We are not passive recipients. We cannot sit. Stop sitting on your couch and thinking that it's just going to happen. And when it doesn't happen, you blame God and say, oh, that's the sovereignty of God. We know that that is a lie. You cannot sit on your couch and just expect things to happen. What, you mean I've got to get up off my couch? Yep. You mean I've got to be actively involved? Yep. Question, do you want to see the blessings? Yes, of course I want to see. Well, then become an active participator. Become an active participator. Affirm the promises. Live them daily, weekly. And through that, we glorify God. Your promised land is in front of you. Hear what I'm saying? Your promised land is in front of you. We serve a good God. We serve a good Father. You do not have to go and try and find your promised land. Your promised land is in front of you. 7,487 promises. Depends what scholar you ask. Some of them are saying over 8,000. I'm okay with 7,000. Even 7,000 is a lot. I'm okay with that. Your promised land is right here. 2025 is your promised land. You don't have to wait. You don't have to go and find. You don't have to wait. You know when we wait and go, oh, I can't wait for the end of this year to come. I cannot wait to just step into the new year. It's here. What are you planning? What are you doing to plan, to embrace, and to walk in His faithfulness? So I have a charge for you as the Numa East family and anybody that listens to this podcast. This is my charge for you. Doesn't matter if you come to Numa East or don't come to Numa East. I know we've got a visitor here all the way from Perth. Bless Perth. Bless those people in Perth. But this is my charge for you, each and every single one of you. Take possession of your promised land. Two people amened. When you amen it, so be it. Let me say that again. Take possession of your promised land. That's better. So let it be. Let 2025 be your year of amens to God's promises. I can't do it for you. Paulina can't do it for you. Your life group leader can't do it for you. The worship team cannot do it for you. Nobody can do it. Not the Pope. Nobody can do it for you. I don't know why I said that, but anyway, maybe somebody needs to hear that. You have to do it. You have to do it. Your spouse, God, Paulina cannot give my amen for me. I have to. I cannot spend time in the throne room every morning and she walks in the abundance of what I'm getting there. She's got to do her own time. Spouses, you married. Come on. Start challenging your spouse. Start challenging your husband. Start challenging your wife. Families, parents, start challenging your children. Start challenging them. This word is for everybody. But I really believe that there's some people listening, and I wrote this as a word. There's some people that are listening today, and your heart is pounding as Holy Spirit witnesses to you. You know there is a promised land. You know that God has got great things in store for you. And some of you even preach it. But I'm starting to say, start living it. Start living it. Stop cruising through life. Stop cruising through life. The season has shifted. I declare 2025 is here. 2024 has gone. I want to pray for you. If you want prayer, stand to your feet this morning with me, please. Let me pray. Let me declare that this is a new season. Can we sing Goodness of God after this, please? That'll be great. I don't want the whole, all the verses. I just want choruses. That'll be awesome. Your goodness is running after me. Sing the song differently. His goodness is running after you. Say to your neighbor, His goodness is running after you. Punch the other neighbor because he's been asleep and say, His goodness is running after him. It's dangerous to say that while the YAs are around or the youth are around. All right, that's enough there, you two. There you go. Good, good, good. Give the youth permission, they start punching. His goodness is running after you. Let's start there. Yeah? That? His goodness is running after you. I want to declare over you that this year, just open up your hands in front of you in a posture of receiving. Chris, if I could have the lights dimmed a little, please. This is a holy moment. I declare, 2024 is over. I declare, 2025 is here. 2024 has gone, never to be seen again. But 2025 is here. You crossed over, you left it all behind in 2024. And the blessings of God are about to be released upon you, man, woman, child, finances, health. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter your background, no matter if you've got a criminal background or you don't, I declare today that this is a good year. The new year is here with promises that have yet been unclaimed, with promises that have yet been unhinged. And I declare today that they are yours to claim because God has given him you his yes. They are yours to live in because God has given his yes. They are yours to steward because God has given his yes. 2025 is in your hand. Hold your hands out. 2025 is in your hands. I want you to do a prophetic gift, a prophetic step. I want you to take it and hold it against your chest. 2025 is in your hands. How are you preparing yourself to walk in His fullness of God, which has already been established, which has already been established. His goodness is already established. How are you going to walk this year in that goodness? Father, I ask, can we just bring that down, please? Father, I ask this morning that you will release now. Poof. I don't know if you felt that. I felt that. Go over to the side. I pray right that you will release the goodness of God upon each and every single one. I pray for blueprint downloads. Young people, just receive. Just close your eyes. Jesse, close your eyes. Just receive. Just receive. Young people, I release. I release. I release. I release, I release, I release. Every businessman and every businesswoman here, raise your hands. Raise your hands. I release, I release the faithfulness. I challenge you. I say, how are you planning, businessman and businesswoman? How are you planning to walk in His faithfulness this year? But I release the faithfulness of God upon you all. I release the blueprint downloads. I release something fresh and something new upon each businesswoman and each businessman in Jesus' mighty name. Just say, I receive that for myself. Put your hands on your chest. Put your hands on your chest. I want everybody, every voice, to say this. I receive the goodness of God. And I choose to walk in His faithfulness in 2025. Holy Spirit, help me to give my amen to 7,487 promises each day of my life. May I rise up each morning with the joy of the Lord upon my heart. May I sing new songs and see new tunes rise up within my heart in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your neighbor. Say, Lord, what I've prayed for myself, I release on my neighbor.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.